And welcome to the second hour of In the Moment. I'm Steve Zwemke in for Lori Walsh. Social ramifications of technology and understanding new technological processes through the perception of outdated technologies are points of exploration for artist Jason Kofke. A visiting artist at the South Dakota School of Mines and Technology, Kofke is this evening's Steam Cafe speaker as he presents Uncertain Futures at 6 p.m. at Hay Camp Brewing in Rapid City. He joins us today in our Black Hills Surgical Studio in Rapid City. Jason Kofke, welcome to In the Moment.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's great to have you with us this morning. Let's start, if we could, by talking about your path as an artist, because it kind of parallels some sad and major events in our country's history. Would you begin by taking us down that road, going back to your childhood?
Sure. I grew up in Southeast Florida. I grew up an hour away from NASA, not too far away from Cape Canaveral. So it was a pretty normal thing that every time a launch would happen in the early 80s, then everyone would run out into the street in my neighborhood and look into the sky, and we'd see, maybe 30 seconds after watching it launch on TV, kind of a second small sun is what it looks like, going kind of creeping up into the sky until it becomes a little glowing dot. And I was 7 years old and remember running onto the playground in 1986, and that's where, as a seven-year-old, I saw with my own eyes the Challenger explode. And I point to that as the event that caused me to be an artist, because as a child, I remember this. I think as adults, we don't give children as much credit for comprehending complexities of the adult world. Because I remember being able to comprehend that those seven people on the aircraft or on the spacecraft had died. But the adults around me didn't know how to react. And I remember that was a bigger impact than seeing the actual explosion. That my teachers just said, well, let's continue class. Let's just go back into the classroom. And I remember thinking, this isn't the world that I imagined as a kid. This is not cartoons and cereal on Saturday and President Reagan as like a friendly, reliable grandfather. That there's actually unexpected things that we can prepare as much as we possibly can, and unexpected still happens. And my artwork has continued to explore those themes ever since, I think, that moment, where as a child I started to realize that that there are, I guess, unexpected futures, and that's where a lot of the title of the show and the works comes from.
Right. I watched one of your videos online. It's titled The Ends, and in it you talk about episodic and biographical memory. Does this kind of parallel what you're talking about as far as going back to like the Challenger incident and how that has played a big role in your art?
Exactly. And also I'll note that I'm impressed by the research you've done. This is great to be able to speak this in depth on these subjects.
Yeah, it wasn't an easy video to watch, but there was the Challenger, a B-52 accident. There was 9/11 footage in there. So yeah, it wasn't easy to watch, but I really get what you talk about by episodic and biographical memory. I think a lot of people can understand that as you take an event or maybe even a song and you associate it to a piece of your history, or maybe something geographical has an attachment to it. So I think it's something that when you bring it down like that, it's something we can all understand.
Right. And I think, the point of art or creating images, moving images, sound, to try to make sense of a kind of self-awareness of our human experience amongst maybe the mundanities of life, or as well as the like deep complexities, because every one of us, and I guess would say in the first world here in the 21st century, have much more data, information, and kind of even social networks, just information to keep track of than maybe any generation prior to ours. So to be able to be self-aware and to take a moment and look back at those images, to relive them and to think about how those have affected you and your worldview, that's exactly the point. So I'm glad that video, if I remember correctly, is just over 3 minutes, and it's created through a basically a collage of video that I took from YouTube and just archives, because we have a lot of new digitized archives of the past 30 or 40 years that are becoming available online. So I try to use those as a collage form to do a quick overview to kind of set that exactly what you describe of wow, where, how, what was I when I experienced this, and where does that place me now?
Jason Kofke is our guest. He's a visiting artist at the South Dakota School of Mines and Technology and presents the STEAM Cafe Talk tonight at 6 p.m. Mountain Time, and it's called Uncertain Futures. I want to mention, too, that there will be a talk and open discussion scheduled for tomorrow at noon at the Apex Gallery and an opening reception beginning at 5 tomorrow evening, also at the Apex Gallery. If we could maybe work a little backwards here, Jason, first of all, tell me about the exhibit you have at the Apex Gallery, and then we'll kind of work backwards from there.
Sure. Well, this exhibit is a bit of a bridge that I imagine between newer works and older works, which honestly is the first time I've done something like this. Typically, I kind of really focus in on one or two media. So we'll look at we'll look at works which are typically prints and drawings that I've created in the past decade, and then we'll look at a kind of stab into a more recent body of work, which is, I know it seems kind of out of context of this deep, heavy conversation, but poetry. It's a kind of poetic approach of putting these ideas into a poem form, which I have... This is new to me, so I'm a bit self-conscious about reading my own words. So on some of my travels as an artist, I've run into many performance artists, and I've asked them within these different locations that I've been doing projects to perform the poetry I've written, and then I've recorded it, and that's going to be the other half of the exhibit, where it'll be a combination of a video and print, basically, print and drawing forms.
Let's talk, too, about part of eastern Mauritania, Africa, the Sahara Desert region, which this is part of this project, I believe, studying areas where texts and manuscripts have disappeared just because of what's going on with climate change. It's an area where artists have kind of neglected over recent history, and you are organizing an expedition. Has that expedition taken place, or is that still to come?
It has. It happened recently. So I'm very glad that you're asking about this and bringing it up, the most recent project. And this is the first showing of any of those projects or works out of that. And it's actually the reason that I titled the exhibition Uncertain Futures. So to put it in the context, it's a fairly normal thing for a professional or a practicing artist to get involved in something called an artist residency. And writers do it, musicians. It's a chance for you to kind of escape your normal life, be it teaching or office work or in the studio, get into a group of other artists from around the world and basically work on projects that you proposed. And these are typically funded. Or at least gives you an option to apply for funding. So it's kind of the professional route of getting work and research done as an artist. So one that I recently was able to organize was out of a residency that operates out of Senegal. And they were these two residency directors were organizing a trip of about 8 artists to walk deep into the Sahara Desert in Mauritania, which is only recently, I'd say within the past year, an option for a Westerner to go to. It's been off limits due to ISIS kidnappings and suspected ISIS activities for the past 12 years. And deep in there, in that section of the desert, there's a few villages that have libraries of manuscripts that are some are 1,000 years old, these books that have been collected through the end of the Silk Road and through pilgrimage routes. And to make matters even kind of more complicated there, with global warming happening, there's been a desertification of some of these villages where the sands are encroaching on these these manuscripts, these stores of knowledge, and burying them under the desert. So I found this one little moment in history where I, as a kind of Western photographer and artist, was able to get there potentially first in the past decade to see these documents and to bring images of them back into the Western world. And kind of well, my real goal was to demystify the kind of the fear of that aspect of the world, of the like Islamic and that area of Africa, where I feel like too much of the media portrays that as a dangerous place. And it was nice to go as an artist, as a kind of cultural practitioner, see and experience that culture and to be able to bring that back. And to be honest, I was comfortable and safe and felt safer there than I did in my own neighborhood in Atlanta, deep in the Sahara and in the small villages and cities around Mauritania.
The project also talks, or in your introduction, we talked about ramifications of technological progress and understanding new technological processes. Talk to me about that as it pertains to the project that we're discussing here in the Mauritania area.
Sure. So with Mauritania, of course, there was some not real, but hypothetical danger of going into a place that was somewhat off limit for Westerners, due to the greatest fear of our time of terrorists and terrorism. And the idea behind that residency was to escape technology and escape the kind of comforts of the modern world, which I thought would be a lot harder than it was, and it really wasn't. The nomads and the Bedouin tribes of the Sahara, if you look at National Geographic pictures of them or just any documentation, you think, wow, that looks like a rough life. But when you're there and experiencing it, they have really figured out how to make a comfortable life in the desert. So the departure from technology was nowhere near as difficult or uncomfortable as I thought. I was actually really pleased with the situation and the life there. And of course, I realized that I have the comfort, I have the luxury of saying that as a citizen of the first world, and it may be different if I live there. But as an outsider, I think I'm still seeing accurately that what I imagined losing in terms of technology was not as big of an impact on my my experience as I expected.
Yeah, I would have expected that despair to be quite a bit more different than how you describe it, especially in seeing another one of your videos earlier today where you're using Super 8 cameras and things like that. So that's interesting.
Yes, and the old technology, I feel like, is a good lens from which to explain things that we don't understand. And for the past decade, I've been using 8mm Polaroid, kind of outdated technology, as a means to explain new technology. And for example, a project I did in 2010 in just outside of Tokyo, Japan, while I was there, I collected a bunch of secondhand damaged 8mm cameras in secondhand stores just around Tokyo. I repaired them and then use those to document and record Japan's particle accelerator. It's called the KEKB laboratory. And then I projected those with 8mm projectors within different classrooms on the outskirts of Tokyo. And what I was able to do was bring particle physicists, filmmakers, and just an older generation that remembers that technology all together in this moment of kind of looking at newer technology through the lens of old and making everything fascinating and or simple and understandable. So now I find that I'm doing that in a cultural means and not technology, to where I'm using these familiar tools and forms of image making to explain another culture or to introduce us to like I said, what we perceive as a very dangerous part of the world, but it's actually just filled with people who like to share food and talk about their family and like all the things that we like here. So that's been my practice more in the past few years, of traveling to parts of the world that are a bit off limits or perceived as uncomfortable, and trying to show the reality of what it's like in as life there.
Yeah. Jason Kofke, once again, our guest, visiting artist at South Dakota School of Mines and Technology. Jason, do you have a few more minutes you could spend with us?
Oh, sure.
Okay.
Yeah,
perfect. As you said, you have traveled the world. I imagine that to maybe go on some of these projects, you're friends with Kickstarter and things like that?
That's right. Kickstarter has been a big help. And there's... fortunately, there's becoming more and more support for the arts in the U.S. I have colleagues in Europe and in Canada, and I'm to plant the seed of more art support in the U.S. that typically for my colleagues, once they get accepted into a program or propose a project, within a few months they can find funding within a local arts granting support institution. Mm-hmm. And it's a bit more difficult in the U.S. We only have a few major ones. Fortunately, in Atlanta, a new one opened up called Idea Capital, and that was my main funding source for this trip to Mauritania. And I wish that there were more opportunities like that, because what we would find is more artistic, more American practitioners or North American practitioners around the world representing the arts and culture of the U.S. while at the same time bringing a lot of the arts and culture of different places back. And if there's anything that's great about the U.S., if I can get on a bit of a platform or a pedestal here, is that we have our own thing going on, and we have for the past 200-some years. But that's also not an attribute, I think, in the 21st century of a more globally connected world. In a more integrated global economy, I think it's important that we have more cultural practitioners out in the world and bringing the world, different worldviews back to the U.S. so that we have a better understanding of our place in the world.
Just a couple of moments. You brought up a point, and I don't know if you had a chance to hear our guest before the top of the hour. We had an artist from Mankato, Minnesota, who visited a little bit about worrying about your next project and where maybe worrying about where you'll be and making ends meet. Does that get into your life every so often, where you're having those same issues?
I wouldn't use the words every so often. I would say constant.
Oh, man.
Which is not a bad thing. And it, again, to tie into the show, that idea of a future uncertain, what that lifestyle as a to take on that role of a cultural practitioner is good and bad. It gives me, in a sense, a freedom that's unique to I guess, an economic structure. I will not know where I'm going to be, honestly, in 2 years. I might be living in Berlin. I may be back in Moscow doing a project. There's some autonomy to how I can arrange that, but it doesn't come from a trust fund. It is a project that, just like I have to figure out how much film I'm going to have to take, what the right boots will be, will I have enough film to handle the project, I view funding and money and resources, paying bills, it's just another resource that I have to manage as an artist.
Mm-hmm. That it just sounds really exciting, knowing or looking ahead and contemplating or anticipating what some of those next projects might be. Does an artist, and I'm sure you've talked to plenty, does an artist reach an age where that excitement maybe turns into more fear or maybe just, you know, that excitement becomes a little more wearing on a person?
You're quite good. You really dig right to the heart of of some real issues of working as a practicing artist. And maybe it's hitting home because I just turned 40 a few months ago.
Okay. So congratulations. happy birthday.
So. Thanks. The whole midlife crisis and the whole, like, what am I doing with my life?
30 hit me a lot harder than 40.
Yeah, we're just coasting. I guess all downhill from here, right?
That's right.
But yes, that is a factor. But I think that it, like you said as well, it gives a sense of excitement too.
Mm-hmm.
And for good or bad, we have endless history of examples in art history of artists who have lived kind of extreme lives and lifestyles. And if I compare myself to Caravaggio or Vincent van Gogh or even Pablo Picasso, which I certainly don't have the right to, but they had much more turbulent, difficult lives and still stuck to their passions. So mm-hmm. Looking at art history and I guess in a sense standing on the shoulders of those before me, I've got it pretty easy here in the 21st century. I don't find us being lobbing gears off and being exiled to islands like some artists in the past just because of their work.
Well, this has been fun. Jason Kofke, just one quick question. Do you know how much longer you'll have at South Dakota School of Mines before you move on?
Sure. I'll be around this next... Well, to finish out the week, it's great. The show has already had a really good reception. We've been able to visit Black Hills College yesterday and, mm-hmm. and have a few studio visits, and we have some local high schools and classes coming in to talk about the work and talk about these issues. And the show will be up. It's scheduled now until the end of May, I believe. But we're going to – it's already being plan to extend it throughout summer and going into next fall so that the newer students coming into the college can see it. And I'll probably be able to update the work over the summer so we can still kind of spruce it up and have a bit of change while it's extended.
All right. Jason Kofke, he presents Uncertain Future, The Future Uncertain at Steam Cafe. That's at Hay Camp Brewing at 6 o'clock Mountain Time tonight, a visiting artist at the South Dakota School of Mines. Jason, I really appreciate the time. It's been fun to visit with you.
Likewise.